Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. I'm really excited tonight. This is a show I've been wanting to have on for a long time. And thanks to, I think, Kathy at NAMM, I finally got to meet the lovely people at Strymon. And thanks to Kathy, and you can't see him, he's hidden over there, is Jack Hine. He's the one that put this together for us, so thank you so much. Strymon, I first heard about a while ago in Premier Guitar Magazine, and one of the things I really liked about them was this box, which I have now. It's going on a pedal board that's coming later, the El Capistan, and it's a killer pedal, and it was great because it's the closest thing I've seen to a box that does what the Echoplex does, and it just was great. So I was always fascinated, and I was just talking before the show with let me introduce my guest first. Pete Selle, who is the co-founder of Strymon and the brainchild of a lot of what you're going to see tonight, and Ethan Tufts, who's the VP of marketing. And both are great guitar players. You see Kathy there, and Jack's hiding in the corner running, going on the internet and taking care of the social media. But anyway, what's interesting is that I would say about 90% of the guests that have been on this show, and we've been on almost 3 years now, have a Strymon pedal somewhere on their pedal board. That just tells you right there. The quality and the reputation of the company, they become pretty much the de facto pedal, especially for delays, reverbs. They're making all, and then also too, they're Zuma power supplies. It's on my acoustic pedal board that I showed at Christmas. Kathy insisted I put that on there. She said that is the best power supply, which it is. And I can't say enough. So I want to welcome you guys. It's really an honor to have you guys here. And throw out the first question is talk a little more about the history of the company, because maybe I'm wrong. I mean, obviously, when I finally heard about you guys have been around for a while, but still, it seemed like you came out of nowhere. So I just wanted to get a little bit of the background where you guys came from.
Sure. We started in 2004 with our company Damage Control, and we made some tube-based pedals, an overdrive, a couple of different flavors of that, and then some tube pedals that also had DSP in them, and one of them was the actual Damage Control Timeline. We did that for three or four years. We were selling those, and we learned a lot in that process because those pedals were kind of big and heavy, and they, I guess, to use a phrase from Spinal Tap, they appealed to a selective audience. So they were well received, but
they're not exactly pretty. Yeah, pretty pedals.
Not necessarily widely received.
But,
so,
but you know, in defense of that, they were sort of created before this big pedal explosion.
That's
too
true.
So before, you know, so there's that. So it wasn't a terrible idea.
Right.
And they made some inroads with artists, and a lot of people use them professionally for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it did. You know, we created a little bit of a following, but ultimately we decided that we needed to kind of supplement the business. So we did some consulting for probably about 3 years or so. And while we were doing the consulting, we decided to, you know, refine, take, you know, what we've learned during that first set of pedal design, and create what became the pedals that everyone knows now as the Strymon pedals. So
mm-hmm.
we kind of were kind of working overtime and late nights to, the consulting was keeping the doors open, but we continued to develop, our pedal line.
Well, one of the things that I noticed, and if you go on their site, which is www.strymon.net, there was another box that actually isn't a guitar pedal box, but I want to mention it because I thought the philosophy behind it, the way you designed it, it's called the Magneto, and it's a delay unit designed to go into a modular synth system. And if you take a look at it, all around the edges are all these patch points, plug-in patch points, which to me, as Kathy knows, on my pedal board, I like to be able to patch and custom wire, change the signal path. And I thought that just was brilliant in terms of, you know, you're covering all the bases. And one of the things I've noticed with all of their pedals is they're highly tweakable, and you have the controls everybody's screaming for. And in case in point, in the Capistan, it's the closest thing I've seen to an Echoplex without using an Echoplex in terms of isolating the echo out and of the variability of the moving the head around, all of that stuff. And I have to, say that's very, very cool. And these new pedals that he brought in, I was reading about, especially the Volante, it's amazing what you can do with it. It's highly tweakable. So we'll get into that in a second. But I just wanted to say that it's really, they're really well thought out pedals.
Thank you. Well,
let's talk a little bit about some of the pedals and show people this, because he's brought in this little pedal board, which is really cool in itself. But if you can, why don't you lift it up and show everybody what you're using tonight?
Sure.
Maybe I can try to do it. Here we go.
Do it right side up.
There we go. Whoa, can I get it?
There you go,
here?
Beauty.
There you go.
So, yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a Sunset Dual Overdrive. Our new Volante multi-head magnetic echo delay, and the Big Sky multi-algorithmic reverb, which we're using the Big Sky's cabinet filter to process the signal, so that even with the Big Sky bypassed, you know, if we turn on an overdrive or any distorted delays from Volante, they won't be harsh sounding since we're going direct in. So basically we're using the Big Sky as a direct in interface in addition to any, reverbs that we might want to.
Yeah, I just want to point out there's a Zuma under here.
Yes.
That's why I'm having him not put it down for a minute, because you can see under the bottom, he's got the little Zuma.
Yeah, the Zuma R300 mounts underneath the pedal board, the pedal train Nano here. So it makes a nice little compact solution. And I don't think we expected it to be so exact, but these three pedals take up pretty much the perfect
size. It fits perfectly. Yeah. And also, too, on Kathy's board, she has a Zuma under there. It's underneath it. And then she has a Mobius and a El Capistan on. And this is her rig for Sister Skinner that they're using now. This is what she's using now on her for her guitar.
Yes, folks, you can use Strymon for Skinner.
So, okay, well, first of all, since you mentioned, I'm curious about the Sunset. Give us a little bit of a sampling of that, and then we'll get into the Volante. The Volante is awesome, and it's pretty involved.
Sure. So we'll turn the delay down here. Let's get
This is direct, so you're hearing this right from the board into the board, in our board.
We'll get just a little bit of a little room reverb kind of.
Yeah.
So that's just dry guitar with a little bit of reverb and the cab filtering on Big Sky. So now Sunset has it's a dual overdrive. Each one of the overdrives can have three different voices to it. So starting with on side B here, we've got a JFET style overdrive, which is very transparent and kind of mild. So when you've got at low drive levels, it's there's very little to no breakup. It's just kind of a bit of.
Is it dynamic as you punch it? If you dig into it, does it grit more?
Yeah, and the drive control will help with that for sure. Turn back my there's a presence button on the back too that lets you dial in the high end.
It breaks up nice. It's got a nice breakup. Now, so you have two independent overdrives, right?
Right, so you can this side you have got a germanium style, and you can stack them. Let's go back to B and get to one of the higher gain. This is a two-stage drive, so it's like a soft clipper into a hard clipper.
So you can stack them into.
Yeah. So now I'm gonna
run this one into the
yeah. So. Go to higher gain and the hard clipper. This almost gets like a fuzz tone to it.
Really good saturation.
And you can set that up. This is a tube screamer style into it, so you can really kind of have clean. And a little bit of a drive here. And then kind of, push it further. So you can also swap the order. You can have side B drive into, send it to side A, and you can also run them in parallel where you can actually, there's a switch back here. Okay, I'm having a hard time doing without saying, but there we go. So now they're in parallel. So you can, Tube screamer side's a little louder, so I can bring that back.
Now, does that spread it in stereo, or is it just a straight?
No, it's the signal out is mono, so it's summing the two paths. So this way you can kind of say, if you wanted a lot of drive, but at kind of sitting below the tube screamer. So now you've got a hard clipper at a lower level, but sustaining drive underneath the tube screamer style. So you can really kind of, create your own tone mm-hmm. there. So yeah, it's pretty nice to, be able to select these possibilities. We've got, you can also, save favorites to it. And actually now it's, fully MIDI compatible.
Oh, it is MIDI?
Yeah, through the TRS jack, yes.
Because, again, it shows how tweakable it is, but at the same time, I mean, all those parameters, yeah, you need to have MIDI. You can't just turn all those knobs between songs. It's too many knobs.
And if you're not the person that uses a MIDI rig, we also sell a small three-button foot switch that you can use so you can save, you can recall multiple presets.
Now, that how many presets does that hold?
Well, the unit can save 300.
Yeah.
So then you can select which ones it's recalling.
But you could have the switch, the multi-switch plus, you could have A, B, and C, so that, mm-hmm. you know, set up. But even, and each preset will save the state of the entire pedal, so both A, so, you know, if, you know, this could be one sound, and there's another sound, and then both of them on together is another sound, so, you know, you can kind of, each preset is almost like three individual sounds in itself, so, you know, you can kind of, you know, work that out a little bit and get a lot of, you know, versatility with just.
Now, are the two overdrives identical and then you just switch them, or they are different?
They're different. Like this side has, it's a two-stage drive, which is a soft clipper into a hard clipper. Then the hard clipper is just a higher gain, single but hard clipped stage. The JFET is a soft JFET clipping stage. The germanium is kind of a parallel stage that kind of blends the dry signal with a softer clipped germanium style overdrive. The Texas is like a tube screamer style. It's an op amp that's a non-inverting op amp, so you end up getting basically, it's a different way of getting kind of the dry signal. It's dynamic in the sense that it retains some of the dry signal just by the topology of the circuit. So when you dig into it, that's why I think, you know, Tube Screamer's, you know, been such an iconic overdrive for so many years, is that when you're playing into an amp that's kind of, you know, already working for you, a Tube Screamer won't get mushy, because if you really hit it hard, it'll, your signal will retain its dynamics along with, you know, some overdrive, mm-hmm. because of the way that circuit works. So that's what the Texas style is. And then the treble booster on this side is removes the low end before it goes into some gain, and it's not really high gain, but it's really for if you're using a sound on your amp that's pretty overdriven already, or you're going into some other pedals, it can really take out the low end into a drive stage, which will really kind of clean it up.
So it's kind of like a high pass filter.
It's exactly, yeah. It's a high pass filter with a little bit of soft clipping. So when it's really great if you're using the neck for a soloing, it really kind of cleans it up and lets it stand out. And if your rhythm heavy gain is kind of if it's getting a little muddy, then you can just step on this and it really kind of tightens it up.
Is that based on the Rangemaster?
It's not really specifically looking at the idea is similar. Yeah, it's boosting the signal removing the low end.
And again, I just want to point out, what's really cool is you can stack in either direction. To me, that's invaluable.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're such different units. You get some other possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely changed the nature of it dramatically.
I just learned that it was completely MIDI now through the
TRS
jack. The favorite button, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are there? I see some of these have MIDI in and out. Is there a MIDI in and out on the side of that?
No, it's there's an expression, a TRS jack, and we send the MIDI data through that TRS jack. So that's and the reason we maybe just found out is because
it's a new feature. Yeah.
All of the sunsets can do that.
Yes.
But it's only recently that we put the system together to allow. So you can go to our website and download some software, and it'll update it, and you'll be off and running.
You were using like a bigger MIDI controller or an external one, like you were controlling from a rig from the board or whatever, there's an adapter that'll go. That's a standard MIDI that goes into that.
Yep, it's just TRS to MIDI, standard MIDI.
Do we sell those on our website?
Yep, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not
standard MIDI. I mean, would it be the standard pin MIDI like 2/4 and Shield? Is that how
Okay. Standard MIDI, and then it, you know, we wire it to the TRS, so you just go from your MIDI controller, and then the TRS end plugs into the expression jack, and then
that would be actually fairly simple. I mean, something definitely we at Tone Zone could do.
Yeah,
and
yep.
then that way it could
any MIDI controller.
Or controller.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That just puts that pedal on a mm-hmm. whole nother level.
And the Riverside as well. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, this is what's important. What I've seen with a lot of the guys touring is because they have to rely on backline like yourself.
Right.
You want all your distortion, all your tone coming out of the pedal board, and then all you have to worry about is a good clean amp, and mm-hmm. that's it.
Absolutely.
And that, to me, that totally makes sense. That's
a good point.
Yeah. And that does it. And now you can, and because those are, you know, complex patching, what you're putting together, some of those tones, the fact that you can just, you know, access on that fast, that just makes that pedal so much more live.
Here's another selling point for the guitar player out there who's considering putting that, for what it does, the real estate it takes up on your board is really tough to beat.
Yeah, it's small.
Because it's just a little larger than a standard MXR type pedal, and yet you have literally two pedals in there that are MIDI compatible.
Well, you have almost every type of distortion unit that I know of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty versatile. And I was just, I don't know, when I first started playing, I don't know if, I seemed a little bit like, I feel like I'm hearing a dry sound. I just actually realized that, you know, that my plinking of the strings through the microphone is what I was hearing, because I was really taken aback. Like, that's why I checked the, I was like, are we good here?
But
now I feel better, because I was a little bit disoriented there for a second. But
no, that thing sounds amazing.
Very good, very good.
I'm not hearing your plinking back here.
Okay.
But it sounded really good. Now let's go ahead to the Volante. Do you want to go?
No, I was going to turn off your reverb.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, now we're back to, let's see, what do we got here? These guys are off. Let's.
And you're still in parallel.
Yeah, let's do this. I never can tell if my, this one is probably.
It's pretty good that he can do that without looking at it. I'm amazed.
I think we're good. Yeah. We turn this guy on. So we'll just get a little bit of...
That's the JFET, right?
JFET,
there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little...
And I guess it's also... yeah, there you go. Yep, you got it. Cool.
So the Volante is... you mentioned our Magneto Eurorack module. Volante is kind of a marriage of the idea of El Capistan and Magneto, where we took the, you know, the tape algorithms the concept of those tape algorithms and used some of the interface ideas that we used in Magneto. So like the tape algorithm from El Capistan, and some of the interface ideas from Magneto. And, Magneto was a multi-head delay and with all the patch points and you know, for the Eurorack community, and it was a lot of fun to develop. And we decided, you know, let's translate that to a guitar pedal. And we got, you know, at a couple of different points along the way, we had to kind of stop and realize, like, you know, we couldn't just try to do a direct translation and put it into a pedal, because there were too many things that just weren't really clear, and it became a little bit of an exercise to figure out how do we make this into a pedal that makes sense and it kind of is logical and will flow. So we ended up with what turned out to be Volante here, and so the idea is it's a multi-head echo machine that you have full control over which heads will play back and which heads will feed back, and they're independent in that you don't need to listen to a head play back in order for it to feed back. And beyond that, then we added some extra voices to have a drum style.
Explain that for a minute, so, the difference in the playback and feedback.
Okay, yeah, let's So this is all, we had the same dilemma when we were making the video for Vellante. Yes. Like, so where do we start? And you know, do you go down this road and then come back and go down this road, or do you go sideways? So
yes.
You know, all right. So where to go? So we've got four heads, and the way that this works is head four is the quarter note. So if you were to tap a tempo, then that's our delay time. Oh, first you have to turn the echo level up. So this is pretty self-explanatory. The echo level is the level of the echo. So.
Okay, so you have one repeat.
One repeat there. Now, if we engage the repeat head, now that head will be able to repeat. And it'll repeat based on where this knob, the number of repeats, the feedback were based on the repeats knob, so we can have lots of repeats.
So it's not like, because I'm relating to like an Echoplex, so you're using a separate head, so to speak, to do all the repeats, as opposed to an Echoplex, when you turn up the repeats, it's repeating from the record head, right?
Well, it's an Echoplex repeats from the playback head.
Oh, the playback. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So, that's what this does. So, you know, it's not a separate head. It's only, you know, we have a diagram in the back of our manual, which I don't know if it either helps people or hurts people. But if you think of like, you know, a delay line or you know a tape where you can tap off the heads, you have one path that says, do you want to listen to it? And also from that same head, you have another path that says, do you want this to go back to the beginning back to the record head,
right?
So that it'll come back. So in this case, I'm saying, okay, I want to hear the head four, but I want, you know, I don't want it to play back. I don't want the feedback to the beginning. So I won't.
Right. Just to clarify what I was talking about. Unlike the Echoplex, you have a record head that's fixed, and then that sliding head is the playback head, if I'm correct.
Echoplex is strange, actually, that it does actually, it moves. Yeah, so now we're going to start getting into the diagrams and things, but it's actually the record head that's moving, but the closer the record head is to the playback head, the shorter the delays are. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay, so the fixed head is the playback, is the playback head.
Yes.
Okay.
On the Echoplex, you're moving the record head, but you know, for any delay line, the delay time is determined by the spacing between those. So it doesn't matter if you move the playback head or the record head,
yeah.
You can get the same effective delay time. So, you know, in this case, we've just got this head engaged that's continuing going back. Now we can move the head and by the time knob here.
Well, while you're playing, go ahead and play. So that's a pretty long delay, almost like a loop.
And then we've got a speed knob, a switch that will change the workings of the entire delay to either go half speed or double speed or normal speed or a normal speed now. And when we change it, you'll hear the echoes kind of react to the change in the recording medium.
Now, while you hit it again. Oh, okay, so it goes back to pitch.
Yeah, when the tape is running slower, or when you change the speed of the tape, anything that's in the current delay line repeating will experience a shift up or down an octave. But then once you've changed it, anything you play now into it is going to be played back, recorded and played back at the same
pitch,
speed.
Same pitch.
So then you'll, you know, it, which is exactly how a physical machine would work. So if I had a lot of repeats on, but you know, know, anything I play subsequently now won't be shifted, but anything that remains in the loop is.
Now, let me ask you, in your delay, have you programmed it like an analog tape where it actually degrades, the frequency degrades?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So we have the low cut and the wear controls, which handle that. So now, yeah, we're on the tape mode right now. And if we, at minimum, we'll have the max, the widest bandwidth. We're not cutting out too much low. I mean, any, you know, tape machine is going to remove some of the low end content so that it, you know, it doesn't saturate. And with the wear at minimum, we've got kind of a fresh medium going on. But if we increase the wear,
yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah,
losing the.
And then, what we found in our, you know, investigations are not only the wear will impact the tone, but you know the alignment of the heads to the medium, whether it's tape or you know spinning you know steel platter. Can really impact the tone dramatically, and sometimes it will be very high passed. So if you want like a very high pass sound, we take the low cut and increase that to maximum and bring the wear to minimum. Now we're going to get a very kind of you know trebly.
Wow,
that's cool.
Yeah.
You usually don't hear that. That's nice.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, you know, we wanted to, it's such a wide range. You know, we've got some of these units in our office, and I mean, the range of sounds that you can get from them or that they present themselves in is really dramatically different. And but at the same time, every time you plug into it, you just say, wow, that sounds really neat, even though it's like, doesn't sound anything like the other one or this. And you're like, well, that's probably sounds neat because it's broken. But so the fact is these days, you know, these machines are, you know, 60 odd years old. You know, we thought, you know, capturing some of the irregularities is, you know, part of the fun there. So, you know, we went to a real wide range. And the drum type, we even went darker. So here's the kind of tonal extreme for the drum here. We've got one in our office that actually sounds like this. We want to get it straightened out a little bit, but the same.
Not supposed to sound like that.
But you know they can sound like that.
No, I remember those echo units.
And then
that sounds just yeah. like it.
So then, yeah, also on the drum, we've got the low cut when it's at minimum is actually kind of boosting the low end a little bit. And I've seen some people I think might not, I don't know if we really kind of presented this clearly or not, but so to get some of the washy drum sounds, you actually want low cut to be at 12 o'clock. So that way you're not actually kind of boosting the low end. When you start to boost the low end, it'll dominate the regeneration, and it makes it harder to like sustain some wash. So I'll demonstrate that here. So here with the low cut at 12 and the wear at minimum.
You can hear the delay distort with itself.
Yeah. And I'm boosting it a little bit here. Maybe I should chill that out a little bit just for the heck of it. But yeah, that's the record level is another thing we'll get into. But
well, so it's also important to note so far you've only been using one head, and that's just one of the things about this is that you can get some really great sounds even with just one head on.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, we'll see because this is just like the video we started to
you
talk about the heads
the
and then we
the
and
heads.
We yeah. now we're at the tones. But we'll try to see if
it's
we can
amazing
that,
just
around.
The way it sounds like real.
Yeah,
the drum or the tape—it's pretty close.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean there's so many variables in there, and we just thought we could, you know, our goal was to kind of, you know, capture the experience. So here's, you know, with that kind of washing, you know, something that a lot of people identify with the drum style delay. So when you've got this low cut, you can really kind of set it there.
It's clear. But do me a favor, take the, pull it down so we can hear what the bass does.
So here, you can hear that. So when you do that, it becomes harder to find a balancing point because, you know, as the low end starts to, you know, take over, you're going to feel like, oh, yeah, I'm losing the signal. So if you turn the repeats up, then you're going to start to, you know, boost that low end, or you're not going to get kind of the airy style repeats. See, it's kind of like converging to a lower frequencies.
But, yeah, it just becomes a wash of low end.
But, you know, so that's...
It's musical, too. It has its own function.
Yeah, and we did that purposely because, you know, we've seen some that, you know, have that kind of character. But I think, you know, that's another thing is, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, these things. It's not like everyone who plays guitar, you know, has had the opportunity to play through Benson's. But, you know, you have an idea in your head of what you think it should sound like or what it sounded like on an album from, you know, years ago. So... you know, it's just an interesting thing. I think a lot of people, their, you know, expectations are on the treble, you know, more of the treble side, and you know, a little more of a cut. And then here's where the record level can also come in to really kind of boost the signal. It's actually an analog gain circuit that feeds the signal processor. The signal processor is acting on that signal. But when you change this record level, the only thing that's happening inside Volante is you're increasing an analog gain stage, so it's delivering a hotter signal to the DSP. So when you do that, you know, especially in drum, the drum delay circuits, you know, some of the most popular ones had a lot of tubes in the signal path, so that they you know, had a lot of opportunities for overdrive and harmonics. So we, you know, that's reflected in the drum style here.
I had not an Ecorec, but I had an Ecolette from, and it was tape, but it would break up like that all the time.
Yeah.
Which was a great sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so that's in there. And then the third, style we have is studio, which is, a little more balanced. It has a little more, headroom, and, we'll talk about the mechanics in a second here, and then maybe we can swing back to the heads. The studio is you know, kind of the highest fidelity of the group.
More like a traditional digital delay, like
you
want a clean sound.
It's not. It's still like tape character to it, but higher bandwidth and also with the mechanics knob. So, you know, this is the last of these four, and so basically these are kind of like your tone modifier knobs here. In studio, the mechanics knob is really more of a traditional LFO style modulation to it. So you can just get some kind of like, you know, kind of a chorusy kind of repeat.
Oh, I see. You're modulating the delay.
Yeah, the delay line's getting modulated, but it's in a fairly kind of you know, as we figured, if you're in the studio and they got reel-to-reel machines, hopefully they aren't, you know, exhibiting, you know, levels of wow and flutter that you can actively hear. So that this is kind of a almost, you know, a purposely applied, you know, variation to the motor speed or something. But on the tape style, this incorporates wow and flutter, and then at the second half of the knob adds a lot of the tape artifacts. So you get, let's hear that here.
So the higher you're turning it up, the more the tape is getting worn.
Yeah.
You're like crinkles in the tape.
Crinkles,
and,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
So you're like splices.
Yeah.
And you can hear it changing at the speed
I've
of
heard
the,
that
the
many
tape.
A time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now if we slow the tape down to half speed, then it'll exaggerate those because basically there's like less inertia for the tape to try to, you know, maintain its balance. So this will hopefully sound pretty weird.
So that's a tape that is in really poor shape.
Yes.
And a machine that's in very poor shape.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get the whole range.
I've heard those machines. Yeah.
We have two.
Yeah, they're ready for eBay.
Yeah.
I just increased the presence here to mid section because the reason I turned it back initially was because I think was thrown off by hearing the strings through the mic. So because the crinkles and things are definitely the more high end signal going into it, you know, really kind of get affected. So then on the drum style, basically, since there's no tape, you can't have tape crinkles in there, but you can have variations in the mechanics of the spinning platter and stuff. So basically, you can get kind of a warped, kind of an irregular warp, but at a repeating interval based on the velocity of the spinning platter.
So it's more of a wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. You can hear the motors.
And if I double the speed, then it'll double the frequency of that perturbation there.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more wow.
And then all those things become more prevalent also when you have more than one head playing.
Well, let's talk about the multiple head and show what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. It's perfect because we're almost out of time. I want to get to that.
Okay. So head four is the quarter note head, and then the other three heads are subdivided based on the spacing knob. So typically, like a Roland RE-201, it was a four-head delay, and they were spaced evenly. So if you had all four heads playing, it was a three-head mm-hmm. Machine. So we give you an extra head. So we give you a quarter note head. You'd have to kind of fake the quarter note there. So this will sound like this.
Now, if you're listening to this on the Facebook Live, is mono, but if you hear on the audio, you can hear it panning. We've panned the pedals, so you're hearing it go back and forth.
Yeah, we've got a slight ping pong here. Not full ping pong, but about halfway. So so that's even spacing, and if I now engage the feedback for the fourth head, we'll hear that continue to repeat. And here's what we can do with we can say let's disable head three, or let's disable head two and put three back on.
You get the rhythm.
Yeah, so you can get some rhythms there, and then you can say, well, instead of having head four feedback, let's have head three feedback. So you'd have to kind of draw it out on paper to see, like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Well, head four. Let me ask you this: so when you were playing originally with all the four heads,
mm-hmm.
and then you had head four as the feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So head four was still doing the ping pong, so it was getting all the four heads, right? So it gets everything up to, like, for example, head three would get heads one, two, and three.
It travels through the heads, and like heads one, two, and three aren't summing to feed into head four. It's whatever's fed back. So like, let's see if I can explain. Like if I just hit like one, short staccato note, on the guitar, that signal will pass through the four heads, and then head four will feed it back. And it'll pass through the four heads again. So each head is just, you're auditioning that one sample. So it's not like heads one, two, and three are ganged up heading into head four.
It's just putting head four back into the thing, and it's still panning.
So okay. Exactly. So here, like, we can get some, so we'll just do this. So I can keep all four heads on, but say let's have head three feedback. You know, it's a little harder to hear because, but there's a change in the emphasis because we've got all four heads on. Every time we hit something, whichever one's feeding back, you're going to hear da 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 because all four heads are on. So here's da 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 versus, and so here's head two. So I mean,
yeah, it's subtle, but there.
That's subtle, but the reason it's subtle is because we're listening to all four heads. Like if we, you know, take off heads one and two and three here.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more pronounced.
But
and you can put more than one head in feedback, right?
Yeah.
There's all kind of rhythmic possibilities here.
Now, what I've did is he's got heads one and four on, and then feedback is two and four.
And when you've got heads two and four feeding back, you're creating, in a sense, so head two's feeding back twice as fast as head four, but every time head four is feeding back, it's feeding back along with head two because they're evenly spaced. So it does, like, this won't sound dramatically different if I turn off head four here. So here we got this. Now we'll turn off head four.
Yeah, because head four is a quarter note.
So
head three is a dotted eighth.
Let's try this.
Head
two and three.
Yeah, but
eighth. But when you're even spacing.
But let's go back. So back here was, hey, that, you know, these guys are kind of ganging up on head two and head four because they're like integer. You know, it's exactly half of four. But we've the spacing knob allows you to change the spacing of the heads. So it'll smoothly morph from even spacing to triplet spacing to golden ratio to silver ratio. And we'll talk about that in a second here. But if I move the spacing knob here, in fact, I'll play first and then move it. So now, because the heads aren't evenly spaced, heads two and four don't have like an integer relation to each other. So you're going to get... You get a very kind of much more spacious kind of reply result. And the fact is, you know, these mechanical multi-head delays, their heads weren't, you know, when we're talking about evenly spacing in a system using a, you know, 96 kilohertz processor, you're talking like micron tolerances or something. In actuality, there's going to be slight, you know, offsets in spacing, and that creates a little bit of the mystery in the even if it's just a little bit in time, they kind of diverge.
That's amazing. That's really cool. You got to spend some time playing with it to get what it does.
But yeah.
It's definitely another effect that's really interesting.
Yeah. So, right, you can triplet spacing. Golden ratio sets heads up so that they'll create the most efficient kind of buildup in density. So you can really get reverberant sounds there. And silver kind of bunches the repeats up towards the quarter note. Let's see. Speaking of spring, we've got a spring reverb here that's actually available full-time, you know, with or without the delays.
I was just going to say, too, we're just listening to this basically clean. We're not even talking about adding modulation yet.
Oh, yeah.
Or a lot of harmonic gain and stuff will actually influence this sound, too.
Now, we're almost out of time. What was the other thing you were going to mention? Over here, you were pointing at something. Was it the different ratios, or was there something else you wanted to show us?
I think we... got that. I know what it is. There's also you can adjust the level of the heads for some dynamics. There's two, so basically the heads are on or off, but if you press and hold a head, it'll go when it turns orange, then that is a 6 dB cut, so you can get some dynamics going. So like if we have the first two softer and then the next two louder, we can get, you know, and set the, say, the silver ratio here where they're stacked towards the chord note. So here kind of like, you know, it kind of blooms up into you.
That's wild. It definitely can set up some really interesting syncopated patterns.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time. I told you we'd go by fast.
I was going to say, we didn't even get to the echo, the sound of sound. But
yeah.
Well, that just means you have to come back.
Yeah.
So everybody, it's www.strymon.net, and check out, they have demos, and they have all sorts of information on all of these pedals and more. I mean, we're just looking at three here, and I mentioned a couple other ones, but there's a whole bunch of them. They're just great. And so check that out. And also, too, and check out Tone Zone LA, and you can give them your number, how to get a hold of you.
Our email address is tonezonela@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Tone Zone's number is 818-851-0148.
Okay.
And so we are an authorized Strymon dealer.
Yeah, and she knows a lot of the pedals, so I mean...
Your board is great. This board is awesome.
It's really got a lot of good stuff going.
So you can
build your board.
Yeah, she can she can advise you on some of the pedals and advise you, but this Volante is just amazing. I'm just blown away. And all the stuff is MIDI capable, and they have all these cool little boxes to help you, you know, to facilitate using the potential out of these. So I want to thank you guys. It's just great. Thank you for introducing me to them at NAMM. Jack, thanks for putting this together. I really appreciate it. Everybody have a good one, and we will see you next week. And you can guarantee that these guys will be back. We have a lot more to talk about. Everybody have a great night. We'll see you.